Christians have been warning us about the Antichrist for over 2,000 years. And when he shows up, what do? We buy a Bible from him.
Well, normally, yeah.
Intern.
Welcome to Gay Talk 2.0, the ultimate podcast for your dose of dish.
He's over here just pressing buttons, but not the right one.
I hate them both so much, but I love them both at the same time. Good evening, ladies and gents, and welcome back to another episode of Gay Talk 2.0, an LGBT podcast. We are streaming live on our YouTube channel for all of our Patreon subscribers, and we invite you to go and become a Patreon member and help us out if you can. My name is Tom, and I'm your host, and as always, I'm in the studio with my amazing co-host, starting with the first one.
Hey, y'all, Nick or Trish.
And
J-Bear, a.k.a. your boyfriend's boyfriend.
And welcome back. We have another show for you today. We were off last week. Tom was getting drilled. By Tom, I mean me. I had a dental appointment, unfortunately, that I... You know how hard it is to get dental appointments after COVID? It's like you just don't cancel them. So, yeah, I had to get some work done. You know, she's rough in the mouth, so... You know, she's trying to keep all her teeth to at least 50. That's my goal.
That's your goal? Hey, you can always just have them removed.
Well, that's true. Gum jobs are good.
But you can get, what are they called?
Implants?
Yeah,
but they're expensive, girl.
I had a friend who did that.
They are expensive. Yeah, I mean, I will have to get one eventually on one of my bottom molars. But it's like, oh, they have to take... So here's the thing. So,
no, I had a friend have his teeth fucking removed, and he got the fake ones. What are they called? Veneers.
Veneers.
But you can't get veneers if you had all your teeth removed, because the whole point of veneers is to go over your existing teeth.
Well, like they like drill them down. They're so, like studs.
So they're implants, basically.
Veneers, yeah.
So they're veneers, but they're implants.
That's what a veneer is, yeah.
Yeah, well, the veneer really covers the outside of
your
teeth.
Well, they also now have the veneers that you kind of slap over your existing teeth. It's like, I remember back in the day when it was the thing, everybody had the gold caps, and you would go get, they cast your teeth, and then they make a mold, and then they pour.
Oh, it's a
and
thing.
They make, yeah.
I'm but, a pass.
Yeah. Trust. No, so yeah. You know, it's just...
Those veneers ain't cheap. They're like $400 or $500.
Well, I mean, and yeah, the veneers. Yeah. But an implant the is implant more like $4,000 or $5,000.
$10,000.
Per tooth.
$10,000, yeah.
So it's like...
That's grand. Why she's working so much.
Exactly, yeah, you know?
That OT can't my get a hot tub. Hot tub.
I mean, I don't scratch the dick, but I want to keep my teeth. Uh-huh. You know, I mean, I get
that's
the whole concept.
That's not what I hear. I've seen your Yelp reviews.
So. Bye, Felicia. Do you remember that?
Mm-hmm. Oh, boy.
Oh, my God. Anyway, why don't we do a quick roundtable just to see where everyone's at and how everyone has been. And by the way, I'm already talking cursive. It's already happening. So, you know, it's going to be a rough show. Bear through it. So, Jaybird, why don't we start with you? How are you?
Holy shit. No, we're good. We're good.
Yeah, we're good. Want to explain
it's been
opener?
Busy. Yeah. Well, the opener, I mean...
Self-explanatory.
You got over here the almighty orange face.
what do they call him? Cheeto... Mega Jesus?
Mega Jesus. The Cheeto Mega Jesus. Yeah. I saw that and I was like, yeah, this is perfect.
Yeah, no, but it's true. It's like he's selling Bibles with the American flag on them. And the man there's nothing holy about this man at all. I mean, and you know what the sad thing is that, you know, these evangelical, Christians, if they want to call themselves that, who are honestly behind all of these, you know, the push to ban, for example, abortion rights, transgender rights, gay rights, all of these rights coming from you. In every angle in all of these red states, it's just crazy to me that they don't see through this guy. You know, it's just...
No, I don't think that it's that. I think that they are using him as a... catalyst isn't the right word. What is it called?
they're using him as a means to...
As a means to hide the true nature of the work that they're doing.
Absolutely.
My God, Nick. Yeah. See, this is why we have white people on the show. Because they know how to verbalize things. His face.
I thought that was honorary.
No, you're honorary. I mean, you know, have you ever been with a Puerto Rican? Personal question, I know. But
maybe.
I must... Maybe?
Yeah, maybe. I don't know.
I don't know. I'm just...
There were a lot of things that happened, like, you know, one-offs, and I'm like, hey, before we get down, what's your nationality? Doesn't necessarily happen.
Oh, okay.
Or just ask him if he's cut or uncut.
Mm. I mean, there was one that was really aggressive, so I assume. Yeah. Bitch threw me on top of a table.
Anywho.
And you loved it.
Yeah.
And you loved it. Is that how you ended up with a meat mental?
That's how it started.
Yeah. That's, I mean, definitely a starting point. Definitely a starting point.
Oh, my God.
Oh, boy. Oh,
Jay
so,
Bird.
Anyways, Easter Sunday
uh-huh.
was eventful.
That's
No, had the grandkids over at the house, family. Bunch of kids, though, like 12 kids at the house, so it was a lot.
That's a lot of kids.
So the kids were all there. My mom was over. We had a good time. It was nice. We went a different route. We weren't completely ethnic as far as the foods are considered, because normally what would you think we'd cook for
Easter? Well, you have to have a ham. See, ham is
we didn't make ham.
Which is okay. Yeah. You know, the other go-to is, like, you know, people will do like a pork shoulder, at least in the Puerto Rican families, rice and pigeon peas.
Nope.
Arroz con gandules.
No. Well, completely different this year. I made a lasagna.
Did you now? Was it a Puerto Rican version of the lasagna or an Italian lasagna?
It's a little bit of both.
Okay.
So the meat was cooked with Spanish seasoning.
Okay.
The rest was, you know, Italian style, but
I would try that.
Yeah, so it was good.
It's rigot.
It was so good. Rigot.
Okay. That's fine.
With the gabagool.
I will say however you demand me to say it.
Okay.
Your wish is my command.
Rigot.
Yeah. Is that so, okay?
Rigot.
Yeah. Okay. So yeah, made that. Sweet and spicy Italian sausage. But we made that with white rice because that's how we eat it.
That checks out.
Yeah.
Everything is with rice.
With white rice. And that was pretty much it. So it was nice. Yeah, not the atypical. And then I usually make rabbit for Easter, a stew.
But it doesn't seem kosher. Like,
yeah, like why?
Why
the
do we
Easter bunny?
What do we eat for Thanksgiving?
Turkey.
Yeah, but like it's not like the Easter bunny is like the symbol. So like all these kids are getting their Easter baskets and you're like, by the way, this is rabbit stew.
Yeah.
I caught that bitch. Okay. But you got in your basket.
And then what happens in Thanksgiving?
The neighbor didn't get their basket.
Yeah, so, but I didn't make it, but my cousin did. So I still got some rabbit stew.
Well, that's cute.
Which was good. Yeah, I love it. I enjoy it.
Yeah, I actually love rabbit stew. My stepfather, or the man, you know, married to my mother, clearly. So, yeah, my stepfather, I suppose. He likes to do rabbit stew, and he actually does a really good job. It's a very, it has a very, very unique taste. The meat itself, yeah, right? You can season it however, and it tastes just like everything else. But the consistency of the meat itself is very unique. It's almost like lamb, right? Like you can tell the difference between lamb and chicken or lamb and pork.
Yeah, so we made it this year. We made it like shredded in a slow cooker with veggies, so like carrots and potatoes, and everybody thought it was chicken.
Interesting.
Until I got there and I was like, oh, you made rabbit? Perfect. I'm taking some. Everybody was like, what? You cook what?
It's rabbit.
Yeah, everyone's like, oh my God, that chicken was so good. I was like, that ain't chicken.
That's
I
not know chicken, girl.
Yeah.
That's not chicken. So, you know, you really do need to know what kind of you know, meat you put in your mouth.
Sometimes.
So, Trish, what about you? How was your Easter? Well, I should know. I was with you.
Yeah, we had brunch.
We did.
It was very nice.
Yeah, brunch was good.
But I had a very eventful, spontaneous weekend.
Do you want to elaborate, or you can't elaborate, or should we just move on?
I can elaborate.
Okay, well, elaborate. How spontaneous was it?
I got a new car.
What? Oh, yes. Okay.
So on Saturday morning, I woke up and I had to trade in my lease anyway. So I was like, you know what? I'm just going to go today. I'm going to look at some cars. And I was walking, and I was walking around with the woman who is actually an aunt of a friend of mine. And I saw the one that I've kind of been leaning toward. And I was like, that's my car. Let's take it for a ride. And so I got in it, started it up, and I drove like 2 feet, and I was like, this is mine now.
It's yours. Mm-hmm. And she's pretty.
She is pretty.
She is gorgeous.
She is my big boy car.
Mm-hmm.
She's a little bit bigger than my last car. She's uh-huh. got all the bells and whistles. She black on black on black. She gorgeous. Mm-hmm. But yeah, no, I'm, and it's a hybrid, which I fucking love.
Like, I mean, the only thing the car's not giving her is a Bukkake.
Pretty much.
Yeah, yeah. So.
And then that evening after, I couldn't pick the car up till Monday, but then that evening after I had, you know, put money down and spent a significant amount of money, I went home and my good girlfriend called me and she was like, hey, we were talking for a while, and then all of a sudden came up that her and the family, they were going to Hawaii. And I was like, oh, and why haven't I heard about this?
Mm.
And they were like, I thought, do you want to come? And I was like, fuck yeah, I want to come. So that evening, I booked a ticket to Hawaii.
And she'll be on her merry way.
And I leave in May, right. Early May, and I'm gone for like 8 days. And I'm not normally like that. Like, I don't spontaneously just spend money, that much money. So right. This weekend, like on Monday, you know, I picked up the car and everything. And I was like, holy fuck, I spent so much money this weekend. And then...
It was a heavy week.
Yeah. Like, my car is tired. But a funny moment, though, when I was picking up the car on Monday, it didn't have wheel locks on it.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
And... I live in a city. You got to put wheel locks on it because those rims are like worth like $3,500. I'm not. No.
Yeah.
So I was like, can you please go, you know, get these before I leave? And so I went and they were like $60. So I just paid them cash. And the guy came back and he handed me like a couple nickels and dimes. And I was like, this feels right for this weekend. Like, my wallet is so much lighter. And everybody just started laughing because I was just looking at my hand like,
change.
Really? Is this for real? Trump it's like change. 25 cents here. Like, thanks, guys.
But she is pretty and very proud of you. You know, it's like, you know, getting a new vehicle is it's a big thing, you know? Because you're leasing, you actually get to get a new vehicle every 3 years.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it's been an interesting thing.
But the thing is, with leasing, you always have a payment, right?
Right.
But at the same time, like, pretty much everything is covered. Like, I don't have to worry about anything.
Right. Yeah. Right.
So.
It's worth it.
And my payment did go up by $100, which, not fun.
It's never fun when you have to pay more.
It went up because it's a hybrid, which I was like, if I'm going to buy a new car, I'm not getting a car that's not a hybrid. And it's actually faster than my old car, which I love.
And you also, you know, save because, you know, it's a hybrid.
Mm-hmm. So I get home on Monday with the car. I park it. I go to my mailbox and I open my mailbox. And in my mailbox, there's a first class mail, envelope. And I'm like, the fuck is this?
She about to get sued.
I opened it up. It's a new lease. They fucking raised my rent the day I brought home a new car. That's more money than my old car. I was like, what? Well, this is bullshit. Like,
that bitch got money.
This is bullshit.
That's harsh. I mean, but I mean, it's happening. I mean, when a lot of people don't realize, like, for example, you know, your premium on your home, for example, on a mortgage is always the same. But what changes is everything else, taxes, things like that, when they're grouped into your mortgage. So payments, yeah. My mortgage varies from year to year. It could go up $150. It can go 300. It can come down $400. It all depends on whatever rate is happening. It changes constantly. Mm. So,
yeah.
Yeah, it happens. Well, hopefully it wasn't a lot.
No, 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 it wasn't. It's actually funny because they said my rate went up by $100 a month. And it actually, if you look at the contract, went up $50 a month. And I'm not going to point out the error.
We didn't say that. Mute, 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 no,
they don't,
mute.
They don't listen to that shit.
You never know, man.
But the last thing I would share is that we have identified, Tommy and I, on Monday, actually. Mm-hmm. We identified that my car is non-binary.
Yes.
And their name is Huxley the Honda.
Huxley the Honda. So I'll call him Hux. I'll call them Hux. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's non-binary. It's black. So, you know, it's a black car. So it doesn't have, how would I say, you know, it doesn't push nor one way or the other. So yeah, non-binary is perfect. Yeah. And it's black on black on black on black. Mm-hmm. You better work.
Yeah.
So proud of you. So proud of you. Yeah, no, my Easter was spent. Obviously, we went to brunch. Brunch was cute. We had a good time. Good food, as always. You know, if you're ever in New Haven and you want to check out some really good, authentic Mexican food, we definitely recommend that you go to Viva's in New Haven. Obviously, we know the owner. He happens to be the husband of one of the, you know, LGBTQ plus spaces in the city of New Haven, which is Partners, and that just recently celebrated 50 years of operation, of being a gay owned and gay operated establishment, and providing, you know, a place where you can just go and dance your you know, your pretty, worries away,
pretty
and
little heart,
yeah, until you're pink in the heart. And so, yeah, so that was that. And then my uncle came from Puerto Rico. And so I immediately left brunch and I flew over to my aunt's house. And I got to see him. I had not seen him in like 15 years. It'd been a long time. And I got to see a couple of other family members. And then I'm constantly reminded as to why I don't show up to these things in the first place.
Your tia?
No, my dear, I love my dear. It's just so many other characters. It's just so.
Oh, this was the uncle from your mom's side.
From my mom's side. Okay. Yes, yes. It's just
about on your dad's side.
No, the dynamics. Yeah. Oh no, that one is just. Ooh, she'll never live it up.
Yeah.
Never let it down. No, it's just weird. It's a weird dynamic. You know, it's like I have that one cousin who's, doesn't matter what party it is, whether it's a party where you're allowed to drink, whether it's a party where it's appropriate to drink, she doesn't care. She's she always drinks. Drunk, and when she talks to
you, I know which
you,
one you're talking about. I do.
No. No.
The birthday gift one? No?
No, not that one. Not that one. Okay. No, that's on my father's side of the family, okay. By the way. On my mother's side, so I have this one cousin who doesn't matter whether she's sober, drunk, when she talks to you here. She is in your face. And I mean, like, in your face.
Sorry, I'm shopping for Hawaii. I'll pay attention.
And, like, I'm like, back the fuck up, number one. You know, COVID is still a thing. And you, I'm sure, are not taking care of yourself. So you need to back the fuck up. And she's all up in my face. And I'm like, she keeps walking towards me. And, like, as I get away, she gets even closer. And I'm like, you know I can hear you, right, from where you're standing. You don't need to talk to me right here. It's a hot mess. And so I spent maybe about an hour, and I was like, all right, mother, I have to go. Love you. Bye. And I took off. And then I came here, took a nap. Bad idea, because then I had to work at the bar that night. But overall, it was a very nice weekend. Yeah. I mean, Easter's just Easter. And at least for me, I'm not, you know, I'm not a, how would I say, a religious person. And so for me, you know, a lot of other people celebrate Easter and it has a very religious purpose for them. It's not that for me. So, but I was born on Easter Sunday many, many, many moons ago.
Poor kid. Yeah, your birthday's coming up.
I
happy
know.
Early birthday. Is that what he was trying to get at? Like, okay. Tommy! Yay!
I hate them both. And I don't know. I may or may not, you know, just out of the blue decide to hop on a plane and go somewhere for the weekend.
He's copying me.
Yeah, we're going to do it. But no, overall, that's pretty much it. And it was good. It was good.
That's good.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's nice. I mean, I'm not ultra religious. I guess you could say I'm spiritual.
I think for us, for us who don't go to church on Easter Sunday, I think it's more of a traditional thing.
Yeah.
Like we do traditional dishes.
We grew up doing it, yeah.
Right.
You know, honestly, it was funny because on Friday of last week, I had a meeting with a woman that works for the Greater New Haven Jewish Federation Foundation.
Mm-hmm.
And she's wonderful. We had such a great conversation, but we started talking about all of these people that, you know, they're like churchgoers on holidays.
Yep.
And I was like, you know what that's like to me? It's like those people that need to get the I voted sticker and post it on Facebook. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, it's like, right. I did the thing.
I did the thing. I don't know what I did, but I did the thing.
BTW, I didn't vote for this primary.
Oh my God, me either. I completely forgot.
What is wrong with you people?
Yeah, you didn't vote either.
Of course I did.
You didn't vote the last primary?
Let me see your sticker.
I want to see your sticker.
I didn't get a sticker because they didn't have any.
Likely story.
Oh, you know what?
Did you press record at least?
I did. It's recording.
Okay.
Oh, my God. What kind of idiot do you take me for? The best in class.
Best in class. Intern's going to intern.
But anyway, you were saying, so.
No, that was it. I just feel like a lot of these people that go to, like, church on holidays, it's like this thing that it's like a guilt thing or like an obligation thing.
Right.
That like, oh no, I went to church. It's like, it's like the I voted sticker. It's, like, I get the I voted sticker, but I never put it on and take a picture and post it.
Right.
I might do it for the, you know, big election, but like,
I mean, think about it. Being that you mentioned it, shit's about to get nuts. Yeah. I mean,
it's already getting nuts.
We are in the month of March. No, we're in April now. Oh my God. Where the fuck am I?
Yeah.
We're in April. election, the general election for the president of the United States is in November. We have a twice impeached, four times indicted with like countless counts of indictments. Former hashtag not mine president. Who became the official nominee for the Republican Party. We have our existing president who is running. And shit's about to get nuts because there is so much going on all at once, everywhere, and people are just like, holy shit. And then, to top it off, when you think about the stress level that people go through, watching day in and day out people talking about this man, he's on every news channel and this case and that case and we're extending the case even more and he got, you know, and you think to yourself, like, how am I going to get through the next 7 months? It's going to be fucking torture.
Well, also, my brother has become like a QAnon, like, conspiracy theorist.
Stop it.
I'm not even joking. So yesterday,
my younger sister and my oldest sister are both kind of almost there as well.
It's insane.
So yesterday, I was talking to my brother on the phone, and then all of a sudden, he was like, all right, I'm going to hang up with you because I'm going to start pissing you off. And I was like, because obviously, he's going to start talking about something he saw on the fucking news. And so he starts talking about this whole thing about Biden signing an executive order to allow illegal aliens to vote in the general election.
And
I'm sitting there, I'm like, Chris, are you watching Fox News? And he's like, well, yeah, I'm watching Fox News right now. I was like, Chris, that's not true. There's nothing in the executive order allowing any illegal aliens to vote. Like, that's not legal. Like, it's not happening. Fox News is spinning a story right now so that when and if Trump loses, they've already planted a fucking seed,
right,
that all these illegal aliens that Biden isn't stopping from coming over the border are now voting for him.
It's fucking crazy.
Yeah.
You know, and so, you know, the Francis Scott Key Bridge collapsed, right?
Oh, that was planned too, my brother. That was planned.
Yeah, that was planned.
In Baltimore. Was it Baltimore?
Baltimore, yeah.
Maryland, right? Yeah. And so now, you know, there's all these conspiracy theories about, you know, well, that was on purpose. And then they're showing another video of another bridge being hit by another boat somewhere else in the world. Yeah. And this is a conspiracy. And I'm like, it was a fucking accident, people. Simmer the fuck down. And it's just crazy. It's, to me, it's about to get batshit crazy. And the other thing is, too, it's like now you're starting to see more and more. I don't know if you've opened your Facebook lately, but there's a lot of these fake accounts that are starting to show up.
Yeah.
That look like real accounts of people engaging other people and asking about, you know, your political affiliations and trying to sort of kind of start conversations. And it's nuts.
Yeah,
it's nuts. And the videos, TikTok, let me tell you, social media is going to be a shit show for the next 9 months. And y'all need to prepare for that shit.
I think the main reason I forgot to vote is because I'm still reeling back up from the four times we had to vote for the damn mayor.
Oh, my God.
I just honestly completely
I thought
forgot.
It was a redo. I was like, fuck this. Yeah, no. It's insane.
And then I got my hair cut. And then by the time it was done, I was like, oh, it's so late.
I
missed it.
No, I totally forgot. Yeah.
Yeah. No, but he ended up getting, you know, Joe Biden got the nomination for the state of Connecticut. But, yeah. You know, sadly, Trump got, you know, became the nominee
for
the Republican side of the state of Connecticut, which is alarming to me again, because we live in such I wouldn't even call it a utopia, but we live in such a bubble. In the state of Connecticut, like, we don't really see the craziness that's happening in other states. We don't experience that here, at least not to that level. And it's very alarming to me that, you know, he single-handedly and easily just won the nomination for delegates in the state of Connecticut like that. You know, like, there wasn't another candidate viable, someone that was worthy of running for the Republican Party for our state. And it's crazy. It's just really, for me, it's this whole, I'm hoping, here's what I'm hoping, that in the next 8 months, 9 months between now and election day, that he loses and that he disappears in the annals of history. Is that how you say it? I'm not going to say anal. I mean, I do hope he falls into a butthole and never comes out, but, like, I hope that, you know, this doesn't turn into another shit show where 4 years from now we're going to have to deal with this shit all over again.
No, he can't run again.
What do you think?
Yes,
about?
He can. He can run as many times as he wants. He just...
No, he cannot. A president can only serve two terms.
Yeah, but he... No, no, I'm not talking about Biden, girl. I'm talking about Trump.
That's what I'm saying.
If he loses now...
He can run again.
Oh, he can run again.
He can run again.
What do you think about Robert Kennedy's bid?
Let me tell you.
I like him.
You like Robert Kennedy?
Yeah, I kind of like him.
For why?
For why?
He's brings a different perspective. And he's a little bit younger, a little bit more vibrant.
Have you seen the man?
Yeah. I mean, he's a Kennedy. He's probably, I don't know.
All right, here's what do you think about the new law that the sanctimonious just... abolished in Florida, squatters' rights. Have you seen that?
So I was watching a news
that has
a news story
to be
on
the
that.
Only thing
that he's that done I, that's
that
actually
he's done
good.
That's actually fucking good,
right? Because there's a lot of
between
of issues.
Florida and California,
mm-hmm.
The amount of squatters,
right.
Taking over people's homes,
and especially in Florida, because a lot
people
of people
are going
have
on
vacation
and they come back home to a squatter.
Or people who have homes there that, you know, for example, people who live in the Northeast, the snowbirds, when they go back home, they find people in their houses. You know how hard it is to get a squatter out of your house?
I thought a squatter was only a squatter if it was renting the house and stopped paying.
No, a squatter is the person who finds an empty house, moves in, and then you can't get them out.
Yeah. You have to go through the whole eviction process.
It's insane.
What?
This person had no contract with you. They find an empty house. They manage
break
to get
in.
Into the house
break
by breaking in.
In.
They move in.
Change your locks.
And then you can't get them out.
You can't get them out. So you have to go through this whole process through the court system. So I know in California, there was this guy who is known as the squatter hunter. And that's it happened insane. To him.
Yes.
So basically, the police, when you call the police, they tell you it's a civil matter.
Mm-hmm.
And you're pretty much left on your own.
But why is that? Why would that?
Yeah. So here's what they did.
I honestly thought a squatter was somebody who was in a home paying rent and stopped paying.
No.
No.
No, basically
that. That can be a squatter. So, but a squatter could also be somebody.
But a squatter is someone that comes in and just moves
just
in.
Takes over.
There's
a
no
vacant
lease.
Property.
There's no contract at any point.
What's the law in Connecticut?
Same thing.
Same thing.
I'm a squatter.
So we've had.
Honey, I will bury you in somewhere in this house. They won't find you.
So the laws kind of suck, and I also agree, because even with the utility companies, if you have a squatter in your property, you cannot call in the utility companies and turn off
their power.
It's considered illegal in Connecticut mm-hmm. to do that. So even
you
won't be able to.
What if you don't report that there's a squatter?
That's the workaround.
Yeah, I would just not report that there's a squatter. But shut off all the power and the water.
Yeah, but if the person calls the utility company.
Or they can press charges against you.
Yeah.
Because you are illegally. It's illegal for a homeowner.
What you're talking about. Yeah.
It's illegal for a homeowner to kick out a squatter without going through due process.
Yeah.
Because here's what they're doing. So
that's bullshit. Yeah. I would walk in the house. I'd be like, get the fuck out.
You can't. Yeah, you can't. That's the thing. You can't. Yeah. So here's what they're doing, right? So they'll go into Florida, right? And they'll find this empty house. And then they'll fabricate this fake deed, right?
Or lease.
And then they'll move in. And then the homeowners are shocked to find someone is in their property, and they call the police, and the police say, okay, well.
But they don't even have to fabricate a fake deed.
No, but they.
Not even.
They can, yeah.
But that's what they do. That's how, you know, people.
A lot of these people don't have the means to fabricate a fake deed.
Exactly. Exactly.
But they do. And so then.
You could go online and print that shit up.
Yeah. So the issue is that you then have the burden to prove that you were the legitimate homeowner against this individual who broke into your property and then became a squatter. And then you have to go through court. You have to pay those court fees because you are essentially suing the squatter. So you have the burden of proof.
I really don't care.
It's fucking insane. Nuts. It's insane. And so anyway, Florida, what did they do?
So they abolished the squatter's rights law. So basically,
why was there one to begin with? That's
all
what
the
I
states
don't
have it.
All
that's
the states
shit.
Have it.
All the states have it. It's a protection.
Yeah.
So,
okay.
What the gentleman I'm almost sure it was California. What he ended up doing, instead of going through the whole process through the court system, he squatted on the squatter. So he basically continued to show up. So it was his. If I remember right, it was his mother's house. She passed. He shut down the house while he did whatever he needed to do to get everything done through probate. When he came back to check on the property, he found people living in it. And cops told him, you're asked out. It's a civil matter. You have to go to court, yada, yada. Court's telling him it's going to take 6 months or whatever. These people were destroying the property. So what he did was, instead of going through the whole process, he went and started spying on the people in the house, and he noticed on certain days they would all leave for work or whatever, and he basically squatted on the squatters. He broke in, changed the locks the same way they did, and by the time they got back, he had all their shit out in the front lawn. Good. He came in with a group of people, and they shut up, and he's like, oh no, this is my house. This is my deed. And that was the only way around the red tape. Right. So when they did call when the squatters called the cops, the guy's like, this is my house. The cops were like, that's his house. There's nothing we could do.
Yeah.
I love that.
It's fucking crazy.
So now the guy makes a living doing that for other people.
Yeah.
And he's like, nationwide, if you need me, call me. I'll walk you through the process. So
it's insane.
It's insane.
It's insane. And, you know, it's sad that that's where we are, but you know, there are laws. And so DeSantimonium, out of all people, passed a law that
you're no
basically
longer protected
repealed.
Under squatter
right.
law.
In Florida.
Bye, bitch.
Bye.
So yeah. Now if you lived in Florida, you can grab someone by the hair and yank them out the house. You'd probably get arrested, but you know. Yeah, you can do that.
Yeah, no, I would do that.
Yeah, of course you would. All right. Well, listen, on that note, on that squatter story, we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we do have our dish. Be right back.
Let's go take a.
All right. We are back from the break. We are like a bottle of shampoo, rinse, repeat, refreshed, all the good stuff. And it's time to jump into our dish. And guys, I have a really, really quirky story today. I do. You're right over there?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Did that come out okay?
Yeah. What? I was rushed.
I'm sorry. She got some leftovers. That's for tonight. But anyway, so I wanted to talk about a story that I found on theadvocate.com, out of all places. And it's talking about a man in Missouri who killed another man 26 years ago. And he literally was like turned in by his... Well, at the time, husband, but now ex-husband, and it's fucking freaky. It's weird. So it all started, so we're talking about Timothy Stevenson.
This is why you can't trust anybody.
Stevenson, right, exactly, right? Mm-hmm. So this is, so the story says, on the surface, Timothy Stevenson had an enviable life. He was married to a doctor. Out of all places. See, this is why I feel like if you got married to a doctor, you'd probably turn into a serial killer.
No.
No?
No, that's not in the cards for me, no.
No? No. Marrying the doctor or the serial killer part?
Probably both.
So he was married to a doctor, and they lived in a $2 million home. Envious yet?
I mean, maybe I would marry the doctor.
Okay. Yeah, me too. With their twin daughters in a
quiet... Wait, do they have a hot tub?
I don't know. Do? Doctor, yeah. Do you have a doctor... excuse me. Do you have a hot tub currently?
He's single.
Clearly. Very single. In a quiet suburban East San Francisco suburb, right? But Stevenson harbored a secret. 2 decades earlier, he had shot and killed a man that he met at a bar in Kansas City. The crime remained unsolved until 2021, when Stevenson's dark past finally caught up with him. And by then, his personal life was already unraveling. His husband had already filed for divorce and a year before, and the couple were locked up in a legal battle over custody of their children. Murderer. Children,
they don't mesh.
So authorities arrested him on murder charges on December and extradited him to the state of Missouri. And this month he pleaded guilty to second degree murder and was sentenced to 16 years in prison. For Stevenson, it all came crashing down after police received new information that helped piece together what happened the night back in 1998 in Kansas City. The information came from Stevenson's estranged husband.
All right, first question I have.
Yes.
How the fuck did he get away with this for so long?
So, we're going to get into that. So, he told his husband 10 years ago that he had killed someone, court documents say. Stevenson's sentencing came a decade after he told his husband, Joseph Gnecco, about killing a killing that he committed in Missouri. According to the probate cause statement obtained by CNN, Stevenson told his husband in 2014 that he had met a man, Randall Oliphant, at a gay bar in January of 1998, and they drove to Stevenson's house in Kansas City, where he shot him twice in the bathroom. Oliphant pleaded for his life after his first shot, Stevenson said. The probable cause statement did not mention a motive, but Oliphant's body was found 2 months later in some woods in rural Benton County, Missouri, about 100 miles southeast of Kansas City. Missouri State Police said Stevenson was familiar with the area because his father and grandmother had lived there. And so he had been there many times. In his confession to his husband, Stevenson told him that he later remodeled the bathroom to mask the crime scene and conceal the evidence. So here's him before I continue reading. So we have a man who killed someone, right? And he confessed to his husband 10 years earlier. Why is his husband, the doctor, not being arrested for being an accomplice to the murder?
Because technically, if you're married, they can't, I don't think they can prosecute you.
Well, I mean, you can't be compelled to testify against your significant other,
maybe,
right?
Maybe because he gave up his partner, that's why.
Maybe. They maybe came up with a deal, plea deal, right? Because that happens. I mean, we see it now in a lot of court cases that we're all privy to recently. But it's weird to me because, you know, it's
But he wasn't an accomplice. He was aware.
He was aware, but he could also be an accessory. I mean, it took you 10 years to come forward. Say, hey, my husband confessed to me that he killed somebody 10 years ago, and I'm just saying this now because I'm bitter. We're getting a divorce, and it's time for me to come clean.
I don't know.
Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. Do you see what I'm saying? It's, yeah. Right?
I want to say something. I just can't. It's like...
It's... I'm flabbergasted here because, you know, not only did the husband know 10 years ago that he murdered someone, he sat on that for 10 years. And the only reason why he's coming forward now is because, what, you're getting divorced? Was Dick that good?
Was he scared?
Was he scared? I would be. So, I mean, and you also, I mean.
So you have to think about the dynamics of the relationship, right? So if he knew about it and didn't talk about it, was there, again, what are the grounds for the divorce? There's no saying why they were getting divorced either. See? So.
Right. So, and you're right, and you're right, and you know, I want to give the doctor,
if I say so.
I want to give the doctor the benefit of the doubt, but I'm interested in
that's getting, a lot of unanswered questions.
Yes, getting opinions from you guys. It's fucking crazy. It is fucking crazy to me. This is why I don't date people, because so I don't want to be murdered.
He remodeled the bathroom to cover it up.
The whole thing.
Sold his vehicle.
Uh huh. With cutouts of the carpet.
Cut out pieces of the carpet.
So it says here, in his confession to his husband, Stevenson told him that he later remodeled the bathroom and masked the crime scene to conceal the evidence. Investigators interviewed Stevenson in 1998, and he admitted to taking an unknown male to his home in Kansas City, but he said that he gave the man a ride from his house afterwards and dropped him off at a different bar. Stevenson's phone records revealed roaming charges from cellular towers near where the victim's body was found in rural Missouri.
That's some shit.
That is crazy. It's fucking crazy.
And this is from the 80s, so they were still able to pull that down.
No, 1998.
We're in the 90s.
Anyway, yeah. That was before all this smartphone shit was really in place.
So that lesson learned, like for all you
leave
people.
Leave your phone at home.
Leave your fucking phone at home if you're going to do shit like this. I'm not condoning that shit.
We don't condone violence in any way, shape, or form.
Well, it depends. If you're destroying a hole, yes, destroy it away.
Be as violent as you want to be.
Yeah. So in 1998, investigators also tracked down the person who bought Stevenson's Jeep, which is what you were alluring to. He had a Jeep Wrangler. In May of that year, 4 months after the killing, the new owner told them that parts of the carpets were missing when he bought it. Police said they found traces of blood in the Jeep's rear cargo area, but DNA evidence was inconclusive. It's not clear why police didn't arrest Stevenson in 1998, but the Missouri State Highway Patrol declined to comment to CNN and referred questions to the Benton County Prosecutor's Attorney's Office instead. Which, of course, didn't respond to any additional requests for information. It's fucking scary. This is what we have to deal with. I mean, what are your thoughts about the whole thing?
I mean, he should have never told his husband.
Yeah.
Agreed. But I'm still like, yeah. Although there are a lot of unanswered questions, and I know that there's two twin girls that are involved here, and they're innocent to this whole thing. It's like, you told someone told you he killed someone, and you kept that to yourself for 10 years.
Yeah, no, I probably would have gone right to the cops.
Yeah. I don't understand.
And again, I will say, so there is...
You're living with this person.
Yeah. Right? Mm-hmm. But so...
So you're living with this person. You have children together.
Mm-hmm.
And they tell you that they killed someone. It's not like you can avoid the person.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's a story...
It gets funny.
...that I know of that is somehow aligned with my family. And I'm not going to, like, elaborate.
We don't... We.
But there was...
There
was a member of somebody close to my family that was, this was years and years ago, and I'm talking like before I was even born. This was like, I think like the
50 years
60s
ago?
Or 70s.
So basically you're going on he say, she say.
Kinda.
Yeah. Okay. So you were a sperm.
Yeah, but like.
You were in daddy's sack. We got you.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
But anyway, okay. So.
You were a sack baby.
Back then, you know, it wasn't as accepted. So this person was in a relationship with another person and they were in love, supposedly. And this other person had killed somebody.
Was it a hetero relationship?
Homosexual relationship. And killed somebody and then discarded the body in a way that doesn't need to be shared. And this person that is close to my family helped. And I don't know if they're still alive, but then was incarcerated. And I don't think that they're any longer alive. But and during the whole process, he, you know, during, you know, the investigation and whatnot, from what I understand, his defense was, I was scared. I was in love, and I didn't know what to do.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Makes sense.
That sounds a lot to me like the panic defense.
Probably, but...
Probably.
Hmm.
I don't know. I mean, I'm not promoting murder. Like, well, that is not what I'm doing here.
No, but you'll murder also, a bitch if you fuck with her.
But you also have to think about... So, kind of along those lines... Puerto Rico, well known. Puerto Rico's known. Toño Bicicleta, you remember that name?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He was known for supposedly he killed a couple of women or a woman, and he was in hiding. And there were a lot of like families in Puerto Rico that this guy was living in the woods. Like he ran off and he was hiding in the woods, and people used to feed him. Like this guy was basically like a homeless. Remember, he was living in the woods because he was running from the cops. So you got to remember back in the day, I mean, you're looking, you know, prior to the 80s, things were so much different.
Even right? 70s, it's just a whole new world.
And you know, back then, even in Puerto Rico, back in the day, everybody used to tell, you know, I remember my grandmother, my mom used to tell me all the time, and, you know, hurry up, get home before the sun goes down. Toño Bicicleta's out
there,
you know?
He's out there.
He's going to get you.
They fucking put the fear of the fucking bicycle man in you.
Yeah, the bicycle guy in you.
So, he's going to get you.
So it was, you know,
El Cuco.
He became a folklore, sort of, right? A fear. So people were afraid of certain things because back then, I mean, it was what it was. Like, people would get away with it, you know? Unfortunately, it was the way things were.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to remember that compared to now, like now with all this shit, all this technology, it helps clarify things so much easier.
Oh, of course.
Than 40 years ago.
Well, we didn't have the internet, actually did have the internet, but it wasn't as widespread.
Yeah.
Because believe it or not, 40 years ago was only 1980.
Well, yeah, true.
It was just scary. Yeah. So, but I need to clarify something. So I said 10 years, but in reality, Court records show that Gnecco filed for divorce in January of 2020, 6 years after his husband's startling confession in Contra Costa County, but it's unclear whether the divorce was finalized. Gnecco told police that he tried to research the Missouri killing after his husband's confession, but there was little information available online. Lies. Guys, everything is available online if you search deep enough. You got to go deep, deep. But at some point between early 2020 and 2021, Gnecco spoke to the police. Gnecco told them details about the killing that had never been publicly revealed, and probable cause statements said, suggesting that he only could have learned from these things from his husband. And in the probable cause statement, investigators said that staged an undercover operation in April 2021 meeting between Stevenson and Gnecco that was secretly captured on audio and video. During the conversation, which included the estranged couple talking about their children, Gnecco brought up Stevenson's 2014 confession. Stevenson's demeanor changed and he became paranoid. And the court document said Stevenson asked his husband if he was wearing a wire and or recording the conversation, and even frisked him, also examining his wallet, phone, and coffee cup. Gnecco asked Stevenson several times why he killed Oliphant, and his answers were conflicting. Stevenson finally admitted that he had been indeed confessed years ago to killing, but claimed he told his husband that to scare him into staying with him, the court document said. So basically, this person was already manipulating
The husband,
which again goes back to what you were saying. You know, you tell me something like that, this motherfucker's manipulative.
I'll kill you too and remodel our bathroom.
So it makes sense why you would wait 6 years to say something.
Yeah. I wonder if something happened wherein, like, the husband was like, I'm done, I want out. And he was like, well, so you know, I did this and I'll do it again.
It could be possible. I mean, if you look at it, if it took him, he said it was 6 years after he filed for divorce. 6 years after he told him,
right, and so
you could see him manipulating the relationship. For oh my six god, years
I
could see.
I mean, people are so
people feel so helpless because I think you constrict yourself more mentally than
battered person syndrome.
Yeah. And then it's like, if I go here, what's going to happen? You know, if I say something, what will he do?
Right.
What if he finds out? And what if, you know, so I think sometimes we're our own worst enemies when it comes to that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're in a relationship that probably, you know, they were probably already in a rocky start. Why would he tell him that?
Right.
If it wasn't to manipulate him. Or pretty crazy. I mean, it's like you're having a rough time and then all of a sudden out of nowhere, you know, I killed somebody a few years back.
And that's some random shit to say to somebody. That's some random shit,
but you know what I'm saying? But like, if you're a manipulative person, if you're a person that likes to control shit and you see shit getting out of hand and you're losing control, you might just throw that ace, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I killed a motherfucker. I never got caught. So just keep that in mind. You know what I mean? Like, that could have been the reason.
Like, I jokingly say I bury people in my backyard. People just show up and start digging.
There's another missing person. Check Tom's house.
Yeah. All you're doing is basically just killing all that grass I don't want to mow. Thank you.
I mean, you do say that you're going to bury my body somewhere.
All the time, but you're not missing. You're still sitting here, girl.
Yeah.
I love you too much to murder you.
If I'm off the show for like more than a month,
yeah, come find her. She's somewhere. Definitely
she's
not
in a hot tub.
I'll
be
bury
floating
you in my
in
neighbor's
hot
yard.
In the neighbor's
oh,
yard.
No, thank you.
No, it's freaky. It's freaky. For me, it's a little freaky, and you know, it's that. Trish, Jay, Bird, anybody? Anything?
About?
Everything's so fucking negative right now. Like, I'm trying to find, like, a happy story.
Yeah.
And it's, like, everything's so negative.
So why don't you tell us something fun or something good that's happening in the theater then?
Yeah.
Anything fun?
No.
Anything new? Work. Gala's coming up.
Yeah.
Are you ready? No.
Not yet.
Not yet.
So can we get a scoop on potentially what the theme is? I mean, we know we're having Alex Newell, right?
I mean, the theme is gala.
It's gala. It's going to be fabulous. I fierce.
Flowers.
Are you doing anything special? You were very descriptive last year on what arrangements you were talking about.
Well, I haven't. We talked about flowers. I have not seen the centerpieces yet.
Okay.
So I'm waiting to see those, but you know,
approved, denied.
No, I'm just going to go to the florist and be like, and then this, but, no, I mean, we are honoring the previous executive director, so that's fun.
Okay. Well, that's always good.
Yeah. We're raising money for a separate fund for arts education. So that's cool.
That's always great. I love the fact that, you know, theaters, especially theaters in New Haven, they do a lot of great work in securing funds for our education and student programs, right? Mm-hmm. Like, and it's incredible because, you know, they are the future of art, right? We all get old and we get old quick. So,
but there's more, it's more than that though. It's
well,
like
of course.
Being able to
introduce people
to theater and sharing stories together is a way that you learn more about one another. You learn more about different cultures. You grow to have more compassion for one another and one another's history just by sitting together and watching a story unfold on stage.
Right.
And introducing kids to that very young is very important.
Of course, because it could also be very transformative, right? Mm-hmm. A lot of people don't realize how important it is to see yourself reflected in stories.
Yeah, and I mean, I don't know if I've talked about this on the show, but we have, not to toot my own horn, but like another supporter.
Toot it, girl, toot it.
We have somebody that pays for, so every school in New Haven is Title I. And if you don't know what Title I is, Title I is free or reduced lunch for pretty much up to, I think it's 90% of the student body. Right. So basically it's low to middle, middle to low income households that can't afford what like a middle class yep. household could afford, including meals and stuff. So a lot of these kids get their meals for free and all of that. And yep. a lot of these schools can't afford to take the kids to go, you know, to the theater or on different trips and whatnot. So we have a supporter that pays to bring over 2,000 kids to the theater for free every year to see a show.
That's amazing.
And on top of that, we also provide a book that aligns with the show. So every single kid, I don't know if you remember Scholastic Fairs.
Yes.
I do remember vaguely. Yes.
So I remember Explain. When I was a kid, I could if I wanted a book at a Scholastic Fair, I could go in and say, all right, this is the book I want. And my parents would pay for it. You know what I mean? A lot of kids in New Haven can't do that.
Right.
So not just the classroom, but every single student gets to take a book home for free.
That is amazing.
So I mean, like, we're doing really cool work, and like, it is really important to bolster arts education and all that stuff. So yeah, I mean, like, fun shit.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Well, congratulations and great job to everyone, the entire staff at the Schubert Theater, because you guys, you know, you're making a difference, and mm-hmm. that's important.
Do you want to hear some white people shit?
I'm always interested in some white people. Oh, look, my mic even came off.
He broke it again.
Oh, God, we're doing this again. We're going through it again. All right, we're going to figure this out. Okay.
Screw it from the top.
I'm trying. White people shit. Go, girl.
Mm-hmm. So, hold on 1 second. I just want to make sure I'm saying this correctly. Sorry, guys.
It's coming. Mm-hmm. It's coming. I'm still trying to screw myself in over here.
Okay, so every year on March 31st, we celebrate Trans Visibility Day.
Yes.
Yes, girl. Okay, go ahead.
And
I was just about to talk about that, but.
Oh, you were?
Yeah, go for it.
Oh.
Knock it off the park.
Okay. All right. Well, I can talk about the negative and you can talk about the positive.
No, no, no. You talk about all of it. Because her microphone just came off the fucking stand over here. So
former President Donald Dump has announced
that
Election Day on November 5th will be celebrated as Christian Visibility Day.
Yeah.
And he announced this on Transgender
Day of Visibility.
Day of Visibility. Now, that is some white people shit.
Okay, I'll finish that.
And I will tell you why that's some white people shit. Because that is the embodiment of privilege. That is also the embodiment of saying, I'm not going to recognize anyone that is less than what I think the American people should be. Or what right. I think people should look like or be represented as.
Well, think of it this way. That was purposeful, right? The fact that he chose to...
smoke and mirrors, man.
Yeah. On Trans Visibility Day, to declare that day or any other day something related to religion is a big kick in the face on the trans community, and the fact that, you know, that's where we are, right? That's what people purposely do. I fixed it. and it's sad because, you know, when you think about International Transgender Day of Visibility, which, by the way, is celebrated every March 31st yearly, it is a day to bring forth and also to acknowledge and recognize that people around this world that happen to be members of our community, of one of our sub-communities, the trans men and women, they're recognized for their contributions, for their efforts, for the fact that they're human, their right to exist, their right to be with us, be present. And then you have some asshole like this literally try to take that thunder away.
Well, that's like when people were like, well, we need a straight pride.
You don't need a straight pride.
Do you know what pride is about, you fuckface?
Right, exactly. And so, you know, at this point...
You didn't suffer.
At all.
Hello?
Sorry you didn't get any dick, or maybe you had Lymtic and you needed Viagra, but that's not suffering.
As a heterosexual, your sexuality has never been prosecuted.
Or questioned.
Maybe you have gone through some shit sexually, and I will not take away from that.
Yeah.
But at the same time, your being, how you identify, who you love, has never been persecuted, pigeonholed, scapegoated. You can't.
No laws have been enacted against the person that you love.
No.
Right? You can get to hold hands.
You didn't have to fight for the right to marriage.
Right. You can get to walk down the street, hold hands without thinking about it once or twice or even three times of the fact that you're holding hands. We have to do that.
If you don't understand trans individuals, meet one. Have a conversation. Go to a, you know, gay straight alliance meeting, or go to a community center, have a conversation, learn more about them, because honestly, persecuting people and not knowing who they are for how they identify is ridiculous. And then when you layer that on top of, okay, so I'm going to make a Christian Visibility Day, not only are you trying to mask something that's so important by giving somebody a day, a moment to revel in who they are,
right,
but you're masking it with mass genocide of not just the LGBTQ plus community by the Christian religion, but a lot of fucking people.
Other people, right. You know, and it's interesting to me because you can clearly see a very steep contrast between what Dump is doing and what Biden is doing, right? And it's such a big difference. Like, you know, on Friday, which was March 31st, was that Friday? Yeah, it was. On Friday, President Joe Biden reaffirmed his administration's commitment to transgender rights by declaring March 31st as Transgender Day of Visibility in a White House proclamation. This day dedicated to honoring the courage and the contributions of transgender Americans arrives amidst backdrops of increased legislative attacks on the community, particularly from Republican lawmakers at both the state and federal levels. Transgender Americans are part of the fabric of our nation, Biden proclaimed, the proclamation said. It noted that the Biden-Harris administration has taken significant steps to protect and affirm the rights of LGBTQ plus community members, including ending the ban on transgender people serving openly in the military, appointing a transgender leader within the administration, and signing executive orders that aimed at bolstering civil rights protections. And the man can actually say this because, as you know, we have a secretary within the administration that happens to be a transgender woman. And it's such a deep contrast with what Republicans are pushing, not only at the national level, but as they said, at the state levels, these, you know, different, you know, initiatives and legislative attempts to ban transgender, healthcare, for example, right? The right for someone to have access to healthcare that could help them in their journey as transgender individuals. And it's freaking alarming to see that. You know, people like this can actually do this and get away with that.
True.
Scares the fuck out of me, to be honest with you. Because if they can do it to the trans community and they can sit here and, you know, use children as a means to pass hateful laws with banning books and, you know, stopping, specific types of teachings in regards to slavery, in regards to the black and brown community, it's fucking hateful and crazy. It is. So,
yep.
Anyway, as a message from us three sitting here on this desk and talking about all the things that, you know, go on in the world today, I want to take a moment to acknowledge the fact that you, our transgender community, are a very integral part of our community. And, we support and affirm the fact that you are human and you have a right to live. You have a right to live peacefully. You have a right to live with respect, with dignity. And, you know, it is your day and you're not, we see you. Mm-hmm. In a sense, we do. We honestly do. Children, boys, men, darlings,
ladies.
I believe it is time for us to wrap it up. I want to thank you all for tuning in on our dish today, but I'm going to toss it over to Trish unless you have anything else.
I just want to mention one thing.
Of course.
And the reason I want to mention it is because I think that, you know, I said earlier, smoke and mirrors. And I think that there's a lot of that going on, mm-hmm. In the media right now and, in both news outlets, you know, on both sides. But the reality is that there were 479 LGBTQ plus bills anti-LGBTQ plus bills nationwide this year alone that were introduced and could be or have been voted on. And these measures can curtail rights of not only transgender people, but the entire community, and that it could affect, like you were saying earlier, access to healthcare, education, public services, and many other things, right? So it's like the tip of the iceberg. And if we as a community and our allies don't, you know, drill down when we're being fed this like bullshit to cover up all this crap that is going on behind closed doors.
Cheap
like
Kool-Aid.
If we don't drill down and make sure we're paying attention, you could wake up one day and your state has passed some type of ban and you had no idea the fucking thing was even introduced.
Right.
So, I mean, that
stay
number
woke.
479 is really,
right.
It's it's a big fucking number.
It is.
It is. And if you consider 50 states, right, 479, probably a lot of them weren't in blue states. So right. Think about all those people that are dealing with all of these bills that are introduced, and we don't even know what it fucking contains.
Right.
Like, we have to make sure that we're drilling down and really right. paying attention to the things that are affecting our community. Like I said, it's like they want to, you know, continue to showboat and have all this shit that like the immigrant thing I was talking about earlier, mm-hmm. where people are getting so wrapped up in it. Right. It's not even fucking true. And then all right. of this shit is going on behind closed doors, but we're paying attention to the headlines.
Right. I'm just happy that we're beyond drag queens at this point, that we've moved on.
Why would you say that? I'm a knock on wood. Hold on.
Because your head, girl.
Your head?
Cabeza. Up here. Oh, that's Chris. Poor Chris. No, but seriously, like, I'm happy that, you know, drag queens is not the story of the hour at this point. Because, man, they put
but those... But I wonder what type of restrictions are in half of those 479 bills that have to deal with drag queens.
Right. And so pay attention. Just like you said, pay attention. It's important. It's important. All right. Well, that's it. Are we done? Are we honestly, truly?
Yeah, I'm fine. Sorry.
I have something to add. No.
Okay. What you got?
Don't hold back.
No. I was just messing
with you. You were fucking with us.
Title One, I could tell you something about Title One. You mentioned Title One earlier. You know how that came to be?
Title One. Go for it.
In the schools. So it was in part, the Black Panther Party and the Young Lords who started the... food program in the schools in New York City.
Oh, wow. I did not know that.
Yeah.
And now you know. And knowing is half the battle.
And now you know,
yeah. That's brought to you by Jay.
That tidbit of knowledge.
Yes. All right. Well, I'm going to give my bitch over here some love because it is time, of course, for, you know. Mama Kim's.
All right, everybody. Here's Mama Kim's Minute. Number one, trans American Idol contestant blows judges away and gets standing ovation from Katy Perry.
Did you see it?
No.
No.
Fabulous. Watch it.
Number two, Kelly Clarkson asked Gay Men's Chorus to sing for her after learning they were covering her songs.
Oh, my God.
Adorable. Number three, Ricky Martin came out after his dad told him something important.
Just going to have to go to our website and click on that link to find out. But I will tell you, fucking Kelly Clarkson, is there anything that bitch can't sing?
No, but how does she get so thin?
Apparently gummy bears.
I don't believe it.
Yeah, I don't believe it either. But gummy bears. Seriously, there's some crazy gummy put it in your mouth. Diet. Yeah.
The gummy bear diet.
The gummy bear diet. Yeah, okay. But is there anything she cannot sing? She took Billie Eilish's song and slaughtered it on her show. Like, I think the only reason why she wanted a talk show was so that she can sing at the beginning every day.
Well, I mean, honestly.
And we're living for it. It's life.
I'm living for that.
Yeah, it's life.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's a little awkward interviewing people.
It's not that she's awkward.
She likes to interrupt people.
That's the problem.
Yeah. And it's hard for me to get by that. I mean, I love her. I love her.
She needs to actively listen and respond.
Yes. And I agree.
And not get so excited about, oh my God, I did that too.
Exactly. Nobody wants to know about what you did. You have a guest there for a reason.
Yeah. No, but I mean, overall, I think her show's not bad.
No, it's not. But her singing, oh my God, life. Jay Bird, over to you.
Oh, yeah. On this day in gay history, brought to you by Gay Talk 2.0. An LGBTQ podcast.
Are you sure about that?
Yeah, I always add the Q.
Legitibitiqua.
So the date was April 3rd, 2009.
Abril tercero. That means to open your hole, by the way.
Abril tercero. Oh, yeah. I got
which
that.
We're going to open your hole.
April 3rd, but it can, it has one of those.
Double meanings?
Double meanings. Anyhow, the state was Iowa. The Iowa Supreme Court decision allowing same-sex marriage. So the decision leads to Iowa becoming the first state in the United States Midwest to legalize same-sex marriage.
It's very important to signify that. The first day in the Midwest.
In the Midwest.
The Midwest. As we know, you know, it took years for things like this to percolate in the States before the Supreme Court ended up ruling that marriage equality was the law of the land with the now landmark Obergefell versus Hodge and Judith Windsor, who passed away a couple of years ago, sadly. But yeah. Yeah. Fantastic.
Alrighty then. So moving on now.
Jay Bird, who won your week?
The Sanctimonious.
The Sanctimonious. Why? Because he's...
Oh, my God.
Get rid of squatters?
Because of the squatters.
It's legitimate. It's a big... that's a big thing. I own a home.
He did one thing good.
That's the only...
That's okay. Redemption happens in so many different ways. You gotta give
props where props is due.
You do.
I can't stand the fucking guy, but he's done actually something good. That affects everybody. So.
It does.
I know. It sucks, but... You know what? Sometimes you got to suck it up and give credit where it's due. Mm. Yeah, it sucks. I know.
All right. Fine. I'll allow it. I'll allow it.
I hate the man too, but you know,
Got
to do.
All right. Okay. Trish, moving on.
Over to you.
Who won my week?
Yes.
My credit card. It kept going through.
Yes! All right. charge accepted. Yes.
turn your head. Just run the card.
Just run the card.
I fucking love it.
All right. How about you?
So for me, who won my week? Bad Bunny.
What do you do now?
Because people hate on him so much. I don't even like him as an artist, first and foremost. Let me just say this. I don't really enjoy his music. But here's the thing. He's got a lot of followers, and he's got a lot of people, and he's got a really good platform. And people hate on him because, oh, he got dropped on the head on the baby, and that's why he sounds like that. But here's the thing. That man...
He's international. He's an international artist.
He's an international artist, but most importantly... The man is all about civil rights.
Yeah.
The man has stood up for our transgender community. When Alexis was murdered in Puerto Rico, he created a whole video. He's really in tune with a lot of civic movements, and he's really using his platform to promote, you know, diversity, equity, inclusion, and also the fact that we're all human. And while you might hate his music, and while you might, you know, just say, yeah, he's not really an artist, or he really doesn't sing, or he really doesn't do that, the man is using his most powerful asset, which is his visibility, to bring forth, in a sense, acceptance for our community.
And he's done it all along. This is not something that he did. This is a straight man. Yeah.
Right? A straight man. He could be bisexual.
He's very gender fluid, yeah.
But, you know, I mean, he's worn skirts, he's done this, he's done that. And, you know, a lot of people hate on him. And I'm just saying, you know what, he won my week. I was watching videos of him, you know, talking about, you know, really, really, really deep things that are happening, not only in our community, but in all communities, and people who are suffering from hunger, and people who are going through shit in Puerto Rico that is... as a result of what happened with Maria, a decade later, we're still dealing with the aftermath of a hurricane so destructive on our island, and he's just using his platform for good. So, yes, he won my motherfucking week.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's really relevant, especially because we just got over Easter, so Bad Bunny, Easter.
Yes! All right, so... That's a good one.
That's a good one.
We didn't even connect.
Bunny stew, motherfucker.
Bunny stew.
All right, Jay Bird.
All righty. If you love the show, make sure to subscribe, rate, and review on your favorite podcasting site.
I have a correction, but keep going.
By subscribing, you get the latest and greatest of our show delivered right to your favorite device or web browser as soon as the episode is published. You can also support us on Patreon. With Patreon, you, our listeners, can help support the show with a pledged donation. The donations are collected monthly and can be in any denomination of a dollar or more.
Yas, queen.
Thank you for your support. I lost it. See you. I lost it.
Yeah, it was just...
It went away.
It, on purpose.
I wanted to read it out.
You could barely read what's in front of you. What do you mean?
Nick, over to you.
All right, everybody.
The intern's coming back at us.
All right, everybody.
Uh-oh.
Thank you. All right, everybody, get the Future Method and all of their products today. All products are doctor-developed, can clean out without hurting your bum. You can take confidence anywhere with anal powder packs. And now, I will be doing that in Hawaii. And now, increase your stretch goals with the three-piece anal dilation kit. Visit FutureMethod.com to purchase your life-changing bum accessory today.
Yas queen.
All right.
All right. Jaybird, let me make an adjustment.
Please. And as always, it is time to put a ring on it. And while Tom makes his adjustments.
Mm-hmm. Go for it.
We are, it probably won't update right in time, but anyway. Our show is available on our website, gaytalk20.com, under audio podcast. It is also available as a free download on Apple Podcast,
YouTube Music,
and Google Podcast.
No more.
Oh.
We're gonna talk about that.
Apple Podcast, YouTube Music, and Stitcher Radio.
That's right.
All right. You can also find us. I don't want to talk about more bullshit.
But I just wanted to. I wanted to explain that. So Google Podcast going away, and it's turning into YouTube Music.
Oh, that's we need to know this stuff.
Yeah. It's like Twitter turning into X. It's just gonna happen. Get ready for it.
Okay.
So, hey. But we, you know, our listeners need to know where to find us.
Your ass turned into the Virgin Mary.
We have two listeners.
Yeah, well,
your ass turned into the Virgin Mary.
I want at least one of them to
that.
Find us.
Right.
Exactly. All right, everybody. You can find us on social media. Tom, is this correct?
Yes, that's right.
All right, Facebook, haven't changed Gay Talk 2.0. Instagram, Gay Talk 2.0. You can email us at gaytalk2.0@gaytalk20.com.
Tom. Don't fuck it up.
Is it my turn? Is it really? Do I have to? All right. Why isn't this like in the right spot? Now I have to go all the way to the end. All right, ladies and gents, if you need to reach out to us, just head on over to our website, click on the Contact Us tab located at the top of your web browser. There you can leave comments, suggest topics, submit a question for the cast or an individual host. You can also give us a ring and leave us a voice message with any questions that you may have. We have a phone number for that. It is called, or excuse me, the phone number is 334-K-TALK. And if you need all the digits, it is 334-429-8255. Don't forget that we do stream live every Wednesday at some point in time throughout the day. And you can access that live stream on our YouTube channel or by becoming a Patreon and actually having access to it right away as soon as we publish. That said, ladies and gents, that is our show. Thank you. And y'all have a good night. Bye. Bye.
Wait, I have one more thing.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Gay Talk 2.0. Tune in next time for more dish.